And we welcome in everybody, Gwen and Chris, a Wednesday afternoon, midweek get-together here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., along with the rest of the Padres, tail between their legs as they head towards St. Louis and the finish up of this 10-game road trip to start the second half of the season. Obviously, you know by now, or I'm assuming you know by now, Padres were not shut out today, but, well, they would have been shut out if the Marlins could play any defense, right? The Padres scored, I think, one unearned run, and the other run was a result of Sanchez looking like me going after that line drive in right field and racing right past the ball.
That was kind of funny.
That was kind of funny, yeah. He looked like, really reminded me of like a kid in Little League.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, you know, kids in Little League, they just make a beeline for the ball and then the ball's not there. But that led to the other run. Otherwise, they might have been shut out today. But 3-2, Marlins get the win. And look, I mean, all year long, I mean, very simple, right? The Padres have dominated in one-run games. And guess what happens? They lose back-to-back one-run games. 22-16 now in that category. They still lead Major League Baseball with the 22 one-run victories. They're tied with the Giants. But now 16 one-run loss. That is actually pretty remarkable that 38 of their 102 games have been decided by one run. That is almost 40%. So, you know, I mean, this is pretty pretty normal. I honestly was more ticked off losing last night than tonight or today. You know, you get the double by Merrill last night, and you got the tying run at second base with nobody out. You got the reliever on the ropes, and all you need is a ground ball to the right side by a left-handed hitter. And they can't get it. Cronenworth pops up to short left field. That was the game. I mean, after that, now you're leaving it to Iglesias and Trenton Brooks. And, of course, Trenton Brooks came up in another big spot today. And before you MF Trenton Brooks.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, because people are so mad.
Oh, my gosh.
They're ripping Trenton Brooks up one side and down the other. And look, Trenton Brooks is Trenton Brooks. Not his fault. He's the only option. He is the absolute only left-handed bat option. And it underscores what we've been talking about, you know, throughout the season. This is a wildly imperfect team. If you're looking for a perfect team, this ain't it. Yeah, I mean, you got the obvious holes in left field and DH. You've got, you know, the injuries on the pitching staff and everything else. But one of the things that you really have or don't have, however you want to look at it, is a bench. This is the worst bench I think I've ever seen. The Padres have.
Okay.
You name a worse bench than this one.
I was going to say, there's got to be a worse bench somewhere in the history of the game.
I understand that. They've been playing for 50-some-odd years. So you're probably right. There was probably a season somewhere where you could point to it and say, that bench was worse than this one. But let's just run down the guys that are on the bench and have been on the bench. What have you got from Tyler Wade? 206, 9 RBIs. Brandon Lockridge, 216, 5 RBIs. I don't know that Jason Hayward qualifies as a bench guy, but he was one of the extras. He hit 176, 2 home runs. Oscar Gonzalez, 220, nothing. Trenton Brooks, 150 now with 1 home run. Yuli Gurriel, 111, no home runs, 3 RBIs. Bryce Johnson, 333, but, you know, 2 extra base hits. He's really not very dangerous. Campusano's gone 0 for 21.
Oh, man.
Tirso Ornelas went 1 for 14. Connor Joe, 0 for 9. And Mason McCoy, 0 for 5. That's the makeup of your bench. Now, you tell me, out of any, I just named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 guys. And I'm not even including your backup catcher who's on your bench as well. But let's just, you know, consider those guys, you know, starters. Those 11 guys, that I just named have combined for 3 home runs the entire season, and 2 of those were by Jason Hayward, who, in respect, was a starter when he was here. So the And Jose Iglesias, by the way, who's also on the bench, doesn't have a home run either. You have 1 home run off your bench all year. Trenton Brooks. He's the only bench player who's even hit a home run. So I ask you again, can you go back through the history of the Padres and find a worse bench than that? There's nothing Mike Schilt can do. He can only put in there the guys that he has at his disposal to put in there.
And to be fair about the home run comment, they don't hit home runs anyway.
Right. So. Well, they've got 86 home runs, not like they don't have any.
But
I mean, you've played 102 games, and you look down your bench, and you have 1 total home run to choose from. That's pathetic. And I think that, you know, that to me is where, you know, the game yesterday is lost, last night, the game today lost. You don't have anybody to go to. And the Padres, you know, great team. We've talked about this a lot. The Padres, to me, seem like a team that is better than the sum of their parts. When you look at their overall hitting, and you look at their power, you just said, and you look at, you know, their inability for long stretches to hit with runners in scoring position, and you look at starting pitchers, you know, like Dylan Cease, who is just way below what Dylan Cease is. He's got 3 wins all year. Randy Vasquez has 3 wins all year, you know, and can't get out of the 5th inning. And you've been mixing and matching with Kolek and Burgert and Kyle Hart and all these guys. And, you know, so you put all that together, you say, wow, what are they, 10, 15 games under 500? But they're not, right? They're 8 games over. So in that regard, you say, okay. But the one thing that great teams always seem to have is the no-name guy who comes out of nowhere and wins the game for you, don't they?
Yeah.
You go back. I mean, I mentioned the name Champ Summers on our roundtable last week, and you laughed and said, who the hell's that?
I thought it was an Anchorman character.
Yeah, right. Every 1984 Padre fan will tell you that Champ Summers, Kurt Bavacqua, those were the 2 bats off the bench that, you know, came in and did things and helped you win some games. All good teams have that. Padres don't. They absolutely flat out don't. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting 8 days to see what A.J. Preller does. We could spend the next 4 hours guessing what he's going to do. But I would say one thing that might be underrated that he needs to do is basically get rid of everybody that's on his bench right now and try to replace it with 5 or 6 guys that can do something.
I don't disagree with that. Outside of Iglesias.
You're right. Iglesias has been a very valuable guy, if nothing else, for his defense. He had an RBI again today.
But remember, we were saying that Iglesias was awful about a month ago.
Yeah, but these guys are awful. I'm 102 games into the season, and I can't come up with any other adjective to describe them. We've got a lot to do today. We got 4 full hours. We're excited by that. SDFC is heading into the League's Cup at the end of the month. You soccer fans, don't go anywhere. Tom Mayo, the executive director of that tournament, will explain it. Talk about why it's so important to SDFC and the MLS in general. We've got our notes on a scorecard. Here it is, my wife's shopping list. Got today's notes on a scorecard.
Oh, wow, it's 2 pages long today.
It's 3.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's 3.
Do we need to clear out an hour for
clear out some time. It's a little ways away. We're not going to do it till the 3 o'clock hour, but you're not going to believe who I'm blaming today's game on. You're absolutely not going to believe. But notes on a scorecard will expose the reason why the Padres lost today. We'll get to that in the 3 o'clock hour. Also in the 3 o'clock hour today, we're going to do a guest version. We did it last week with Tony not here. We're going to do it again today. We're going to give one of you listeners a chance to play Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Chris versus the Fans, Big 5. Gwen and Chris, we're underway. Welcome to it. Happy Wednesday. Tony Jr.'s idol. Matt Scraby's in the studio. So is Sam Levitt. Go home.
I know.
Go home.
Seriously.
He just did a post-game show for like 3 hours. He's in here. I don't know what he's doing.
He's trying to get a picture of me for some reason.
All right. Twins and Dodgers. Twins and
Go
Dodgers
home.
Are tied 1-1. Dodger Stadium, if you want to keep an eye on that. Yes, Shohei Ohtani has homered again. fifth game in a row. That ties a Dodger record. I think the major league record is 8 games in a row. So Otani has a little ways to go there. He's got 37 home runs. He hit the home run off of the sheriff. Chris Paddock is pitching for the Twins and actually pitching well, but did give up the home run to Otani. They're tied 1-1. We'll keep you up to date there. The Giants did pick up some ground earlier today thanks to the guy I love to hate, Rafael Devers.
Mm-hmm.
Hit 2 homers today and made a winner of Justin Verlander.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because that is his first win of the year.
He's 1-8.
1-8 now. Verlander got the win in that one. Giants moved to within a game and a half of the Padres for the final wild card spot. Padres are on their way to St. Louis. Cardinals figure to be in an excellent mood when they arrive home. They're currently being shut out at Coors Field.
Oh.
5-0
oh
by
goodness.
The suddenly rampaging Rockies trying to win that game and win the series over the Cardinals. Padres are there starting tomorrow, and Tony is on his way. You know, I was talking about the bench in the first segment, and I destroyed them. But yeah. I want to say this. It's funny how time plays tricks with your mind.
It does.
And I
especially
remember,
during a baseball season.
Well, here's what I'm talking about. Champ Summers, okay, I'm going back to this guy. 1984, coming off the bench for the Padres. And I'm thinking, man, he really contributed that year.
Did he not?
One home run, and he hit 185. So he wasn't exactly, yeah, he wasn't exactly great. The best bench guy the Padres had that year, maybe Bobby Brown, who was a backup outfielder, had 29 RBIs. Luis Salazar was a backup infielder. He had 3 home runs. But the big boom that year, some guy named Bruce Bochy. He had 4 home runs off in a reserve role. But so that was the 84 team. So they didn't exactly have monster guys off the bench. And you know what? Neither did the 98 team, I hate to say. Mark Sweeney was probably the best of the lot, our friend Mark Sweeney. But he only finished up at 234 that year with a couple of home runs. Jim Leyritz, who was kind of a postseason hero, but during the regular season, off the bench, 4 home runs, 266. John Vanderwall was always a great pinch hitter, but not so much that year. Hit 240 off the bench for the Padres. Anyway, so benches come and benches go, I guess. I still think that this bench could use a major upgrade.
Yes.
And we'll see if that's something that the Padres can
accomplish.
That
you ain't lying about, Chris.
Yeah, we'll see if they can accomplish that along with everything else they're trying to accomplish here over the next 8 days. The trade deadline is next Thursday. We have a baseball Padre roundtable tomorrow from 10 to 11. And then tomorrow afternoon, this show will set sail for a couple of days without our captain, Matt Scraby. Going to take a couple of days off.
Wow.
Do you even know how to do that?
Yeah, no, because
Adam
was like,
"What to do with yourself?"
Adam and I were trying to plan things out, and I was like, "Don't worry, I'll just take care of it." He's like, "No, you're on
vacation.
Yes,
you're off. You get a couple of days off."
It's so hard for me to step away.
Yeah, well, we need it. We need it. We need the vacation from you as much as you need the vacation from us.
Yes.
So, Scraby will be gone.
I need to
for
get away from
days.
All that. I'm picking a perfect time for this when you know, Trenton Brooks is the next guy that needs to be fired.
He's been DFA'd.
I've said this many times this year.
Yeah, I know.
Be mad at AJ Preller and the front office, not Trenton Brooks.
Yeah, they've done a terrible job putting this bench together. They just have. And I've been, you know, nobody's been more, you know, complimentary of AJ going out and getting Nick Pivetta and going out and get Gavin Sheets. I mean, where would you be without those two guys? So, you know, that's part of, you know, why this team is good. But part of why this team is not better is because they haven't been able to do anything with the bench. Now, that also may, you know, shed a little light on the fact that you had the ownership.
Yes.
I don't want to say upheaval. But
yeah, it wasn't an upheaval. It was a conflict.
Yeah, the conflict which you had during the offseason. And bench guys do cost a little money as well. And the Padres didn't really invest in that.
And Jerickson Profar was one who said after, he said, yeah, it did contribute to my decision to go to another team.
That part of it, yeah.
Because, it, you know, there's an unknown.
Yeah, well, Jerkson made the right decision for
I was
sure.
Just about to say. Because
the Braves are having a hell of a year. They're now 44-57. It's been a nightmare.
Like, they
year
have not been able to climb themselves out of that hole that they started
no,
in.
No, they started in a hole, and they've stayed in a hole after they lost again today to the Giants. You know, I had a bad day yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I told you why. Remember, I began the day stepping in my dog's poop that I didn't see walking around in the dark early in the morning. It continued on the golf course where I couldn't you know,
do anything,
put anything together on my golf day. But I got to tell you, Scraby, after the show last night, it brightened up.
Really?
It really did.
I'm happy to hear this.
And I want to thank my goddaughter, Brooke, and her 2-year-old son, Leo, for changing my perspective on things.
Wow.
And I'm telling you guys this story out there because it's a simple thing, but sometimes life's simple things make all the difference.
It does.
And yesterday, Brooke is here from Las Vegas visiting with Leo. And for the first time, we took Leo to the beach. And he's 2 years old, and we took him down to Coronado, and he was dressed in his Sunday best. He had, like, nice pants on, nice collared shirt. They took his shoes off. He went running through the sand for the first time.
Wow.
And then he got down to where the water comes.
Uh-oh.
Scraby, I just sat there for a half an hour and watched him play in the dirt. And that's all I needed to change the perspective on my day.
I like this.
He had more fun than I've had combined in the last year, probably. And by the time it was over, you have never seen more sand stuck to a human being than was on this child. After a half an hour of rolling around in the water and the sand and the dirt and the mud for the first time in his life. But he had so much fun.
It is
and I
nice.
Loved it. And I got to give Brooke credit as a mom. She just let him play around. You know, so many parents are like, yeah, don't do that. Don't get dirty. You know, oh, you can't get your pants there. No. Let your kid go out and play and let your kid roll around in the dirt. That's what they do. And let them discover stuff.
Yeah.
And it was so fun to watch. And I'm sharing it because it's like my message to everybody out there. Go do some simple things. If you're having a tough day, take the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, watch your kid play for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, don't always... Here I go. I'm going to be the Dr. Spock of parenting here.
Dr. Spock.
But, you know, instead of giving your kid a video to watch on your phone, take them outside and let them play in the dirt for a while. They're going to like that a whole lot better. And you're going to like it a whole lot better.
I mean, I say it all the time about my walks with Lucky. Sometimes I'm walking things are like... stressful and I got stuff going on, and then Lucky wants to smell the flowers, and I'm like, you know what, you're right, Lucky, I should stop and smell the flowers.
Let a 2-year-old kid, you know, just discover and live in wonderment for a minute, and that will brighten up your day.
Totally will. That's what I love about hanging out with my nieces, is that they give me a new perspective and they make me realize that sometimes my problems aren't that big of a deal.
Yeah, and then, you know, Leo went home today and now I feel like I got all kinds of problems again. But it did go away.
And then the Padres did what they did today.
And
put me in
a crappy game and they,
there's no bench, Trent Brooks.
They can't hit and I'm going crazy upset again.
Wandy Peralta, I'm just naming guys that have been in the crosshairs this year.
They've all spent a little time in the crosshairs this year, and we still got 60 games to go. So make way for the rest of the people in the crosshairs. Anything else today, Scraby, that I missed? Do you want to get to
I just want to say real quick that this has been a disappointing series for me more than one way, because the Dodgers have been – I think they're 3-11 in their last 14
they
games.
They are, yeah.
And the Padres had a perfect opportunity to – take some games and make their way back. Also, Sandy Alcantara is a brand name at this point. He's not the same guy he was when he won the Cy Young. I went and did the math. In the last 4 starts, he has an 8.61 ERA.
Yeah.
You need to take advantage of that. Why does it seem like the Padres always end up being the get-right team for a guy who's struggling?
Sandy Alcantara, well, they did bomb him pretty good the first time around when he pitched here.
Okay.
So let's give them
that. You're right.
But he came into the game with a 7.14 ERA. He left the game at 6.66. That is still the worst ERA in baseball.
Yeah.
There's nobody below him.
Among starters, or among
guys with enough innings to qualify.
Okay.
Next worst is Zach Gallen, followed by our friend Chris Paddock in terms of that. But, no, you're right. This was the 46th time. 46 in 102 games. That's almost half the games. That a quality start has been pitched against the Padres.
I think this is a big stat because
it's huge.
Because the only other teams in baseball that have more, the Royals are right there, so I can't say that they are, but I know the Rockies are the
right.
first
the
team.
The Royals and the Rockies are the worst two teams. They've had more quality starts against them than the Padres, but only by a few.
Yeah.
The Padres are right there on their heels. So you're right. For this team to be in a playoff position despite 46 times being held to a quality start, that's I don't know if that's good or bad. I can't tell. It's bad that it's happened, but it's good that they've somehow overcome it and they're still on their feet.
Yeah, I think that we all need to wait for this trade deadline. Then we can really, if we're not happy with what happens at the trade deadline, then we can really start asking some questions. But until then, I don't think we can.
Well, the 8 days are going to be interesting, but you know the funny thing? Baseball's not going to stop.
No.
Right? They're going to still have to play for these next 8 days.
And they play four games against the Cardinals.
It would behoove them to win some of these games. And here's the other thing that you can be a little frustrated by, Scraby, if you so desire.
Yes, please.
They have, the Padres, I'm talking, have dominated winning teams or losing teams this year.
Yes,
right?
They
were 31 or 34 and 11, something, I mean, just insane. And now they just went 3-3 against losing teams. And guess what's happening now? St. Louis, Mets, mm-hmm. St. Louis, mm-hmm. Arizona, Boston,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, LA, Seattle.
Those are all good teams.
That's the next month. There's only one losing team in that bunch, and that's Arizona, and they're not exactly a pushover.
Yeah.
So you've got a month straight of games against winning teams. And the Padres against winning teams are not very good. They have not been very good at all.
Well, now I'm scared.
I think they're 18-31.
Now I'm scared.
So, yeah, be scared. Be scared.
We did say this August last week on the roundtable was going to be the make or break for the season.
Well, it's going to start a little early with St. Louis. You know, St. Louis, they play 7 of the next 10 games. St. Louis is one of the easier teams on their schedule in the next month.
I would also say this real quick, even though I just gave you the break sign. The Marlins aren't as bad of a team as their record indicates, I don't think.
No, the Marlins are good.
Yeah.
But you got to beat these teams.
You do.
And, you know, you got to score a couple of runs against Sandy Alcantara.
You do.
You just do. You said it. You can't let the worst pitcher in baseball, which is what he statistically is,
look like an ace,
shut you down. 7 innings, no earned runs.
And can Luis Arraez please, like, take a walk?
We'll get to that in the notes on a scorecard.
Oh.
That's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll get back to the Padres and why they lost today in the 3 o'clock hour. But before that, we're going to get into a little of this soccer tournament. It's a big deal. It's coming up at the end of the month. SDFC takes a little break from the schedule to try to do some good for the franchise and the league that they're in. Tom Mayo, executive director, joins us next. You kickheads out there, stick around for more Gwen and Chris coming up. Hi, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:37 is the time. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. traveling with the Padres. They'll be in St. Louis, start a 4-game series tomorrow. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Under the category, Scraby, of misery loves company, Padres feeling a little of that misery today after losing back-to-back games to the Marlins by one run. They do have company. Look, the Tigers got beat again by the Pirates, swept in Pittsburgh. The Tigers, who had been the best team in baseball for almost the whole season, they don't even have the best record in the American League right now. They've lost 9 out of 10.
Ooh.
The best record in the American League at the moment belongs to the Blue Jays and the Astros.
Wow.
They've both passed the Tigers. And you already mentioned it earlier, the other team struggling is the Dodgers, mm-hmm. right? They've lost 11 out of 14. And even though the Padres could have picked up more ground, they picked up some, and they currently stand four games back. Dodgers and Twins still tied at one. They're going to the top of the seventh inning at Dodger Stadium. Ohtani homered for the Dodgers run. One last thing. Who has the best record in baseball right now? What team? I gave you the American League leaders, Houston and Toronto, but they're not the overall leader. Who has the best record? The Brewers do. The Milwaukee Brewers. They've won 9 out of 10, and they're winning in Seattle today 10-2. So it looks like Milwaukee will end the day with the best record in baseball. I don't know anybody who thinks that the Milwaukee Brewers are the best team in baseball.
They're playing well.
They are playing well. All right, we've got our soccer guy, and we're talking soccer because it's coming up, the League's Cup. And it starts here on July 29th. And joining us to talk about the League's Cup is Tom Mayo, Executive Director of the League's Cup. Tom, we're getting excited. We're getting fired up for this tournament. Welcome to the program. And I think more than anything, we're glad we're involved because San Diego has this expansion team and looking forward to going to work. Talk a little bit about the League's Cup and what it means to us in San Diego and what it means to the MLS as a whole.
Look, thank you for having me on. Look, appreciate the support for soccer. And look, the San Diego being in the League's Cup, it's huge for us. I went down in person 3 months ago and I met the team, I met the front office team, we met some of the players, saw the facilities, and then we saw what an amazing first season you're having. It's just the response that the communities, you know, that you've got from the community. So we're just delighted to bring the League's Cup to you in just under 7 days. So the League's Cup is the best in North America. So MLS is the best in USA and Canada, and then you've got Liga MX, which is the best in Mexico. Now those two leagues, the three countries, come together for 1 month and to find out who is the best in North America. Now the real trick is that the top three clubs also earn a chance to go into the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And they can also then go on to the Club World Cup. So this is a pathway to becoming the best club in the world. But it's also, you know, first and foremost, this is the best club in North America.
We're talking to Tom Mayo, Executive Director of the League's Cup here on 97.3 The Fan. And my next question is, because I see that it goes from July 29th and the championship game is on August 31st. Now, this does not go against like an MLS record, correct? These are not sanctioned MLS matches, but they are matches that are very important because of what you just said, that they can become the best team in North America in that.
Yeah, this is a CONCACAF championship. So it's authorized by CONCACAF. It's in its third year. So we're building something, you know, akin to the Champions League in North America. So we're not only looking, you know, in the next 8 or 9 days, but also building for the next, you know, 10, 20 or 30 years. So, you know, we've got long-term planning, but also trying to build awareness for this new tournament.
Tom, all right, here's what I've been understanding about the League's Cup. The MLS is still, even though the league is so much greater and more popular than it's ever been, the MLS is still looking for respect on a world stage. And the beginning of that would be to get respect by winning, you know, their teams performing best in the League's Cup and getting the advantage over Liga Mexico and therefore, you know, putting their best foot forward to, as you said, go on to CONCACAF, maybe do well in North America and beyond. This is that important. Like, everyone in the MLS is going to be watching these games, rooting for these teams, San Diego included, to do well. It seems as simple as that, right?
100%. I mean, this matters. This is broadcast to over 100 countries globally, and the world is tuning in. We want this to be a sort of a cornerstone of the U.S. Sports calendar. But this matters. I mean, I've gone and talked to the players, you know, Chucky Lozano, and he's competing against his home club.
Yeah.
San Diego competing against the home club, Pachuca, in that opening match, and it means a lot. I mean, he's incredibly passionate about, you know, taking the win. What's really good about these games, and don't forget, is at the you have to there's a this is a decision. You get points. Like, there is no draws. If we have a draw, we're going to penalties. So a team is taking home points every single night. It's a win or a loss. Okay, and then the top four in East and West division go through into the quarterfinals, so you're guaranteed Liga MX and MLS in the quarterfinals.
Talking to Tom Mayo about the Leagues Cup in San Diego, the SDFC hosts Pachuca on July 29th, the Tigres on August 1st, and Mazatlan on August 5th. Now, if you're in San Diego, obviously you want to go and watch all those games, but which team is the one? I hear that Pachuca is the game that people are really going to get excited about.
Yeah, Pachuca's, look, it's an opening game for us. It's a real kickoff to the tournament. And then don't forget Tigres. Now, the Tigres Tour, they're a huge supporter base of Tigres, and they're traveling into town to come and join the tailgate parties, to come and join the festivities. But don't forget, we've got that third game, Mazatlan. That's the crunch game. So if San Diego, you know, if they're on the precipice of qualifying, this game matters, because they'll be, if they win that, they're into the quarterfinals, and on their way to being the best club in North America.
Yeah, it all starts, Scraby mentioned, next Tuesday, July 29th, will be the Pachuca match at 8 o'clock, Snapdragon Stadium. Then Tigres comes in on Friday, and then you play right again the following Tuesday. So it's three matches in a span of 8 days. And, you know, as Tom mentioned, and the world is watching. And, you know, we're still getting used to the whole idea of teams taking a break, you know, from their season to compete in a league, you know, cup in a format like this. But the NBA is kind of teaching us that this kind of thing can happen and there can be great interest in it. But this is the way soccer always operates, right, Tom? I mean, from Premier League to, you know, Bundesliga, whatever it is, these teams all compete in Euro tournaments, et cetera. And this is how you make your mark in the world of soccer, right?
Correct. And, you know, MLS is, in comparison to the European League, it's a lot younger. So, you know, they're going through the same, you know, that the Premier League did years ago, and making those, you know, smart decisions. Okay, this is the best in North, you know, this is the best in North America, the MLS Cup. So it's just an evolution of the game. And with the Club World Cup here and the Football World Cup here, there's so much more interest at the moment in soccer. You know, with packed out stadiums, great new sponsors joining. So this is an exciting time to be in the beautiful game, as they say.
Tom, how do people get tickets that don't have tickets yet? Is it as simple as contacting SDFC? Is there a Leagues Cup web page they can also go to? So people, I want to make sure everybody knows how to get in.
Look, go straight to SDFC. Okay. Head to their web page. They've got tickets available there. You should be able to head up on the night. There'll probably be some tickets available, or maybe some. We might have some sellouts because it's heading that way at the moment. So look, jump online right now, get your space in the stadium, or reserve your space on the sofa.
Yeah. And one last thing. Once the three matches are over, in the three matches in 8 days, and let's say that SDFC, you know, does qualify, quarterfinals, et cetera, where does it go from there? Where do the matches go? Is that still to be determined? Or, you know, how does this tournament kind of, you know, finish up and keep going after the round robin's done?
So look, there are some privileges based on last year's tournament ranking. So the top six Liga MX clubs, and LA Galaxy as well. So if those clubs are in it, they'll be the host home, hosting those games.
Okay.
But if they're not in it, then it's the Leagues Cup organizing committee that will be making those decisions based on the ranking. So look, we could potentially see further knockout games in San Diego.
There could be more in San Diego. And I am going to tell you something, man. You know, Tom, the San Diego fan base is going to be fun and crazy, and the atmosphere is great. So hopefully, they will do well, and maybe they'll be considered for some of those quarterfinal and matches and beyond. Tom, best of luck with the tournament. We're excited. I'm glad we're able to shed a little light on it.
Thank you.
I mean, all of the superstar players are in it. There's 18 teams from MLS. There's 18 teams from Liga. And, you know, may the best team win in the end. That would be a hell of a feather in our cap, you know, to have that championship cup here in San Diego. Hopefully we'll catch up with you a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you will do. Your first international trophy, fingers crossed for you. Good luck.
I like that.
First tournament, first trophy.
Might
as well do it.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom, great luck. Good luck to you, all of you. Thank you. Tom Mayo, Executive Director of the Leagues Cup. All right. I'm glad we were able to shed a little light on that.
Yes.
Because I don't think the, you know, even, look, the hardcore soccer fans, they know, I get that. All right. You know, I'm not worried about you hardcore soccer fans. Again, we want to keep making the interest great for others. And if you haven't been out and you haven't seen an MLS match, understand that this tournament is not exhibition. These games are going to mean as much, if not more, almost, than a regular season MLS Cup game because, you know, you win this stuff. This is how SDFC gets on the map,
yes,
per se. And, you know, I know we were talking to Ziegler about this a few weeks ago. And frankly, and I didn't want to say this, you know, in talking to Tom, but the MLS is not considered, you know, to be of the quality. Even I don't think of Liga. You know, I just don't. So you go in and all your teams win games in this tournament. That's how you start, you know, making your league as big a deal as Liga and as big as the next one. And, you know, you keep branching out.
You can watch all of these games, these League Cup matches, pass on the Apple TV app.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So nothing's going to change for that.
Great.
So if you already have access to SDFC, you're going to have access to these games as well.
All right. Tournament starts next Tuesday. I should remind everybody that the SDFC does play one more MLS match this Friday,
mm-hmm,
against Nashville before they set sail into the League's Cup, which starts next Tuesday. Three matches in 8 days.
That's a lot. Seems,
yeah,
like
they're going to stay. They're going to be busy with that. Scrabe.
I think they will be busy. And we are. You know, we get people that tell me all the time that they want to hear from the soccer people. And so I don't care if you're angry that we're not talking about the Padres right now, people.
We're going to talk plenty about the Padres.
I know. Get over it.
Like, well, look, Sam Levitt just talked about them for 2 straight hours.
It makes me, you know, my feelings are a little bit too raw today, Chris.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
I don't know.
Wait, did somebody on the chat say, why aren't you talking about the Padres?
No, and I now just you're get all constant
defensive
messages about how we get, we don't talk enough soccer. And then when we do talk soccer, I get messages as, I tuned out when you guys started talking soccer.
Well, go ahead, tune out. What can I tell you? I mean, you know, tune out and tune back
in. It's one of those days for me, Chris.
We spent a few minutes talking about a 2-year-old playing in the sand. I, you know, think there are other things going on in the world besides a Padre win and loss.
Oh, like we're going to talk about in the Big Five, that Tua Tagovailoa made me a huge fan today.
He did, huh?
Yes.
Well,
I am a fan of his.
Well, I know that he is talking because Tyreek Hill trying to work his way back into the good graces of the Dolphins. So
yes,
we will get into that,
yes,
a little bit later.
He did say he wanted out after the last game last year.
He said a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
All right, back to baseball for a second here. There is the rumor is now. Look, yesterday we told you the one from Dennis Lynn.
Yes.
In The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Cronenworth. Somebody that apparently the Padres are either interested in trading or teams are interested in trading for.
Yes.
Why would they trade Jake Cronenworth, you might ask? Apparently, the reasoning behind this, according to Dennis Lynn, again, Dennis Lynn is pretty well connected, all right? So whether this happens or not, we'll have to see. But Padres probably would like out from underneath Jake Cronenworth's contract. It's a big contract, and it's long. And I think that, you know, it's fair for fans to say that Jake is a good player, but probably not as good as that contract is.
I don't. He's.
Do you
not,
think that's fair or not?
I mean,
what's he making?
It depends on what we're judging him.
All right.
By.
Well, what's he making
this year? He's making $11.2 million.
Yeah,
that's not a lot.
No, it's pretty much the going rate.
Exactly.
I hate to say, but how
next
long
next year
is this,
he makes $12 million?
How long does this contract go for?
It goes through 2030.
That's
so there's
the rub.
The length is the problem,
that's the
not
rub.
The actual amount,
okay,
of the
so
contract.
So 5 more years, maybe they can get out from under that if they trade Cronenworth. Now, I have heard a couple of different things. They might try to package him in a deal with Jason Adam, and I'm not in any hurry to get rid of him, but that's the name that was attached to it.
Yeah, don't get rid of him.
Well, maybe that's who the Oakland A's would require if they were to trade back Mason Miller, the 100-mile-per-hour throwing fireballer who, according to Dennis Lynn, would then be thought of as a starter.
Do they trade?
The other one is Dylan Cease. Apparently, every team in baseball wants Dylan Cease. And apparently, you know, I think the fans feel like if, you know, let's just get rid of this guy. He's 3-10, for heaven's sakes. But you've got to get something back. I mean, you can't get rid of Dylan Cease for a left fielder. Then who are you going to plug in as your pitcher? Well, Cardinals designated veteran right-hander Eric Fetty today.
I don't want team scraps.
I don't either, but I do want to say this. Fetty is terrible right now.
That's what I'm saying.
3-10 with a 5.22 ERA. But last year, he had one of the best WARs of any pitcher in baseball with the White Sox. He pitched great last year.
Yes, last year.
Well, maybe you take a shot at him if you trade Cease. I don't know. These are the options.
No, I know. I'm not mad at you.
Not telling them what to do.
I'm not mad at you.
These are the options. Don't kill the messenger.
If there's a deal to be made and it helps your team right now, then make it. But if it's for a guy like
Eric Fetty,
Charlie Morton, or whatever,
yeah, I've heard his name too.
Not happening for me.
Yeah, Charlie Morton's been terrible also.